Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to another episode of 5 Out.
When you say 5 Out, what do you mean by that?
We got a lot to talk about. Obviously, the Celtics lost to the Nets the other night. We want to talk about the Rockets game as well, and just everything with the team, where things stand. I want to touch on the Rookie of the Year conversation, too, because, of course, RJ Barrett has like a halfway decent stretch or whatever, and then the New York media throws him into the Rookie of the Year conversation. Makes no sense at all. There's other stuff going on in New York, too, that we want to touch on. Bucks, Heat. He'd have beaten them twice and two chances this year. So we got plenty of stuff that we're going to get to. If you haven't already, you can leave a rating and review on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you guys listen to us. And make sure you send it to us at 5OutPod on Twitter or Instagram.
And let's get it going.
Look, I'm just trying to be all right with it. Yeah, I'm just trying to be all right with it. Yeah. I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. I'm just trying to spend the night with it. Yeah. I just want to be all right with it. Yeah.
So we're going to spend an hour and a half today. We're going to have an extended episode just to talk about Coby White the entire time because he was named Eastern Conference Rookie of the Month for the month of February. I'm ecstatic, over the moon about it. Ty?
Blind squirrel finds a nut.
Oh, that's heartless. It's heartless. He's not even. You're on Boylan's side then. You don't think he should come off the. You don't think he should start?
I'm on neither of their sides. Mm. He should be starting, and it's probably 2 months overdue. He's the second best player on the roster, and Jim Boylan should have made that move months ago.
But it sounds like you're not even happy about Coby White doing well.
I'm never happy about Bulls basketball. They don't make me happy. It's when I tune in, I know I'm going to be miserable, and nothing changes.
Not as miserable as I saw Matt the other night at the Garden. He was...
I'm glad I wasn't there.
He was pissed. He was pissed with Hayward. Because at the time I saw you, things were fine. Things had not gone sideways yet in that game. But Hayward was kind of... It was what he'd been of late.
Yes. Do you want me to start talking?
Yeah, you can start talking. Yes, that'd be good. Generally, back and forth.
I think I'm over the loss because... What I thought was the most embarrassing thing, not only just giving up an 18-point lead to the Brooklyn Nets, who suck, it was losing with the ball, up three, was, whatever, 6 seconds. That, to lose that, that's pretty bad.
That foul by Smart was one of the dumbest plays that he's had since he's been here.
Yeah, it was. That was horrible.
And he's all pissed at the refs afterwards. No, you have Tice there. You have Robert Williams there. Why are you contesting that shot?
You learn at a young age, you don't follow jump shooter. And if he makes that, you either have two plans going into that. You either, A, are falling when he catches the ball to put him on the line, if that's what you talked about, which it wasn't. Or B, you just put your hands up and make him make a tough shot. I mean, that literally would have been a ridiculous shot. And if he hits it, then all right, shake his hand, we go to overtime.
You had two trees there contesting the shot. There's no reason that Marcus Smart is involved in that play. I'm sorry.
The fact that you lose that game up three with the ball with 6 seconds is... And they called two timeouts to get the ball inbounds.
Because Grant almost screwed that one up, too.
He did, yeah.
That one, I was like, he's falling out of bounds.
Fifth grade?
You can't
get the ball inbounds in the NBA?
He hasn't done something that dumb in a while. He has those moments where you wonder, like, this guy's... Williams is a smart dude. There's no doubt about it. But there are sometimes I'm like, how did you make that?
But at
that
the
bad of a brain fart.
At the end of the day... You get over, and I'm like, it is one game. You can't overreact and say, like, you know, obviously it was a really bad loss, and let's just keep it at that.
No. You can overreact. Everybody's overreacting.
Yeah, everybody, you know, you beat a good team one night. You beat the Lakers by 30, and everybody's like, oh, you can be in the NBA Finals. So it's like, you know, it's...
Well, see, here's
you can't have it both ways, I'm saying. So it was a bad loss, but what bothered me the most last night was Gordon Hayward not coming back in the second half because he has a bruised knee or something. Dude, are you hurt or are you injured? Like... I think this is the problem that I have with players these days. Because what actually happened with Jalen? I wanted to ask you that. What's wrong with him?
He strained his hamstring.
It's like, dude, I mean, these guys
are... He's going to be out for at least a week.
These guys are so soft, man.
See, the hamstring thing, though...
I don't know.
You know you don't mess around with hamstrings.
You're right. But the Gordon thing bothers me. I don't care what anybody says.
Why? I understand the Gordon one.
That is just... I mean, I watched Kobe Bryant walk off with an Achilles injury. Actually, come back on the court, shoot free throws, and then walk off. And we got a dude that has a bruised knee.
ACL.
A bruised knee, but like, what? Like, are you injured or you're hurt? There's a difference. You can play through that. I'm sorry, but now it's like, oh, it's the regular season. Why? Let's not wait. You know, all right, dude, come play. Like all those people there last night. The fact that they had to watch that was the overtime. The product that was on the floor was like a preseason goddamn game.
Yeah,
but I left. I couldn't. I was like, this is disgusting. But then that goes back to Danny. Make a goddamn trade so you actually have a bench. That's your whole bench.
You know what's funny? Is somebody texted me before the show and said, I'm predicting that Matt or Tyler is gonna blame Danny for not having somebody added to their bench.
It's a fair criticism, I think.
100%.
It is a fair criticism.
And you're not just saying that now because they do. It's very blatant they need a guy. Like, people were saying that at the deadline time. Like, they needed a bench scorer.
They don't need a big.
I think it's the bench scorer.
Right. Well, I mean, if you have Rob waiting in the wings, you would think, okay, maybe you can get...
Right.
Maybe he'll work out fine. Maybe... And then otherwise, you know, you have other guys that you can make it work with. Because the bench is good defensively. It's supposed to be good defensively.
Oh, yeah.
You let up fucking 51 points.
People
who have been listening to the show since its inception know that I have to follow the Nets just as heavily as I have to follow the Celtics. So I know damn fucking well what those guys are capable of. I told people going into that night, I must have said it at least 5 times before that game started, if you score 116 points... Tonight you will beat the Brooklyn Nets. And that's what should have happened. But Marcus Smart made a dumbass foul. Because it would have been enough. 118 points. They should have won that game 118 to 115. Because the Nets cannot score more than 115 points without Kyrie Irving.
Yeah. It was not a good night for Marcus Smart. Some guy in front of me actually was like, it was like quiet at one point. I mean, he was like, hey, Marcus, in his really Boston accent. You gonna check this guy or what? And I was like, honestly, he's got a point. This dude's literally hit 4 threes in your face. Can we do something about it?
I mean, you know what the other thing is, too? And I know that you could say I'm a little too pro Shemmy sometimes, but you don't bring him in till overtime.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, don't play the whole game. Let's throw him.
And then we have the replay of what's his face? Haynes talking to Caris LeVert after the win, and he goes and drops
26 points. And you got Timothy Luau Cabarro.
Who?
Timothy Luau.
Oh, sounds like an interesting drink, huh?
They couldn't even get his name right, by the way, at the Garden. I mean, that's how insignificant this guy is.
There's so many. Who's that little dude
Chris
on Chioza, that team?
He's a two-way player.
He's a legit G League player. Literally a guy that's like 5'4". Those guys out there, I didn't even know who they were.
Luau Cabarro is a halfway decent 10th player on a team.
Yeah.
That's what he is.
That's fair.
He shouldn't be scoring 11 points on you in a quarter. And then Caris LeVert is dropping 26.
They gave up,
you don't bring out one of your better defenders. I'm sorry. I mean,
they gave up 51. Yes. They gave up 51 points in the fourth, right? Is that what it was?
51 points.
Or in the second half.
So it was 51 points in the fourth. Caris LeVert scored 51 points in the game. He scored 37 points between the fourth and overtime.
That's really good.
And that's the most ever by a player, Ty, in the past 20 fucking years.
That's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing. It's a terrible loss. And you're dealing with it today before the show on your on OMF.
Yeah.
And they're in Glenn in Lou, and it's to the point where I wanted to hear what they were doing across the street. Is everybody moving the goalposts now? Are the Celtics screwed because they lost to the Nets? The Nets should not be the Celtics without Kyrie Irving. No shot in hell. I don't care about the injuries. They were up by 17 with two of your five best players.
A 99% chance to win, according to ESPN.
There we go.
99%.
No way you should have lost that. But everybody's now moving the goalposts that now it's like, it's a bad loss. It may be the worst under Stevens.
Right.
But are you listening to Glenn and them talk about it and just like rolling your eyes over this? Like,
There's some points where I would try and chime in, and I'm like, I'll just let them have this argument, and I'll sit it out. And I'll save it for five out, because a lot of the times it's like, you're just having the same argument over and over again. Like, with Glenn, it's a cute little team. He's so reluctant to ever change his expectations for this team, ever.
Yeah.
Even though this team has clearly changed and evolved over the last 2 months. Like, we were talking before the podcast, they've added a legit superstar without having to trade for one in Jason Tatum.
Yep.
That's what Glenn said they needed, was a
superstar.
He's
saying it more than anybody.
Right.
He's saying it more than anyone.
And so they got it.
Yep.
And he has not changed his view at all on this team.
Yeah,
not at all. You're spot on, Ty, because he's been saying last year or coming into this year, you need to have that top 10, the top 5 guy in the league. And now Tatum top 5? No, I mean, none of us put him in our top 10. He's played like it the last month, but he's not there yet. He's not solidified. But you go and say that you need that, you have that, and then you have Kemba, who is safely top 20, right? We're in agreement on that?
Kemba?
Safely top 20. Okay, well, would you put him top 15? Because I don't know if I'd put him top 15.
No, he's not top 15.
He's top 20.
Okay, so top, but you have a top, a guy who's in the top 15 right now, another guy who's in the top 20, and then Jalen who's,
top 40.
He's flirting with it, with all that, right? He's averaging 20 a game, and he's a good defender. Then you have Smart. That's what you need, though.
I know, but I don't know. Saturday's loss hurt me a lot, too. By the way, let me just get on this mic real quick. I personally watched James Harden the whole game. Do you know how many times he drove to the right?
How many?
Twice. Do you want to know what the end result of those two drives were?
What?
One was Jason Tatum blocking it so hard off the backboard, I think they needed to replace it. The other time, Tice blocked it into the third row. How the hell do teams let James Harden score 50 points? He is so... He's one-handed.
It's just factual that James Harden
really can't go right. His moves are this. He either drives left all the way to the rim, and somehow, the NBA defense, you just let him go all the way to the rim. Or if he goes right, it's a step-back three. It's that simple. Huh. I can't believe guys... I think the Celtics guarded him pretty well. He only had like 17 points.
Yeah, no.
Russ was a freaking man-child.
He's so much fun to watch.
Oh my God, is he a freak.
He's an absolute psycho.
But Harden is so overrated. I'm sorry. I'm done. He's so overrated. Don't tell me he's this great scorer, because I watched him the whole game, like trying not to be like biased at how much I hate him. He really just doesn't do it for me.
He really hides it well.
If you have a basketball IQ, did anybody watch that game and be like, yeah, this guy is unbelievable?
It's just factual that James Harden
is a better
scorer than Michael
Jordan. He takes horrible shots. He airballed one and then he shot one off the side of the backboard.
When I watch that game right away, I'm thinking Russ is the one that sets the tone for that team.
Oh, my God. That guy, no, he is an absolute freak.
Harden operates like on his own little island, and then you hope that he does well, and then everybody else follows Russ because P.J. Tucker plays the same kind of way he does in terms of the intensity and everything.
That dude's a bad man, P.J.
Daniel
Tucker.
House, same thing. I mean, that guy's a tough bastard, too. Like, they all play similar to us. They're all bullies out there.
What I took away from that game, though, other than that Harden stuff, is Gordon Hayward just absolutely disappeared in that game. He was pretty good in the first half at like 15, 16 points. I don't even know if he played in the third or fourth quarter. If he did, let me know because he wasn't out there.
Yeah, I know he missed a pretty important corner three. You brought that up.
He'd rather shit his pants than shoot that. He didn't want it. That's why I'll give Marcus Smart.
At least
Marcus Smart has balls. Like, dude. Gordon Hayward's so soft. Like, he's so, I'm done with him. Like,
Gordon is the most unselfish of all our five main players.
But that's, I've said it a million times. That's a problem.
He disappears, man. Yes. He really does.
When you're not the point guard, it's a problem. And you're that unselfish.
And what else bothered me in that game? Two other things. Like, quickly, one, how many threes they shot? I know that's the Rockets game. The Rockets took like 40 something threes, the Celtics took like 35. And the problem I had with that was down the stretch, at least. And I know the NBA is one-on-one, but it was like so one-on-one that they started playing like the Rockets, like no movement away from the ball. Everybody was just standing and watching.
That was not a good game for Tatum.
From my defense to him, it's like no one else was moving, right? They were just standing like, hey, Tatum, go get a bucket. And it's like, and then my other point to that is they weren't driving.
Mm-hmm.
The Rockets have no rim protection. P.J. Tucker's 6'7".
Right.
Go to the rack.
Yeah, that's a game where, look, Brown didn't shoot well either. Neither did Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart went 5 for 15 from 3. But that's a game where, A, not having Kemba hurts big time.
Oh, definitely. That was glaring.
But that's a game where, I mean, I think Jaylen Brown's got to step up big. Because P.J. Tucker is one of the better defenders in the freaking league. Whether or not he gets all the defensive, because he should have last year and he didn't. But whether or not he gets that recognition, he's a tough guy to freaking deal with. That's where Jaylen needs to step up, and he didn't in that game. No. Still Tatum starts with him. But, I mean, I look at Jaylen in that one, too, big time. I mean, then Hayward, too.
And it's another game, too, that they, you know, halftime, they just come out so... And I don't think they did it yesterday. It was more like the fourth quarter where they just imploded. But the Celtics-Rockets game...
They had Jaylen, too. I mean, I know he was hurting.
Celtics-Rockets game, though, they were up like 13 going in the half, and then they just did the typical, like, they didn't come out with any urgency in the third. Then it was a close game. And, you know, they were lucky to get in overtime. Everybody was like, oh, that was a great play. I was like, yeah, it was freaking bullshit. And the ball bounced
that
up.
That never happens.
No, they got lucky. I mean, it was a great shot by Brown. It was clutch, mm-hmm. but it was lucky that it even got to that point.
You must have been so satisfied seeing a small ball team do well, because that falls right in with all your analytics bullshit.
Well, the Rockets, if I don't watch them, I actually enjoy their brand of basketball, because they shoot efficient shots. If I don't watch the Rockets, I enjoy their brand of basketball. Because on paper, they do what I want them to do.
That is the dumbest
thing
I've ever seen. That's my whole point.
The Celtics did everything in that game to let the Rockets win. I think there was five instances. Two were Eric Gordon. Eric Gordon shot an air ball. He also shot one off the side of the
please
backboard.
Please do not slander Eric Gordon. He's a Hoosier.
I just did. And Harden literally did the same thing. The type of shots they take are so bad. Like, they got the house guy. Like, you got him just chucking. That's your best offense, him just chucking up some three?
Yeah, why not? Like Ty said, it's enjoyable when you're not watching it. That is honestly, that is freaking analytics basketball in a nutshell.
It's horrible basketball. The only person in that game that I enjoyed watching on the Rockets was Westbrook, because he just literally imposed his will. Got to the rim, not threes, to the rim.
Well, that's why he's the only guy that shoots a bank shot anymore, too, from mid-range. I mean, but what?
I was going to say, what do you think of the Celtics like, leaving him open? Like, please take that jump shot. Like, they were leaving him excessively open.
That's what I would do
early in the
game. Yeah. I would do. I wouldn't want him getting to the rim. He's a nightmare when he gets to the rim.
He's an animal. I mean, like, I would absolutely, look, as much as his mid-range is better than his three-point shot, I'm still giving him that all day because it's still not...
I almost feel like with a guy that's that quick and explosive, when you back off that much, like, it gives him more room. Is it crazy to think that's harder to guard him rather than staying up on him and then containing him?
I would agree with that, Ty. I think it is because you're giving him too much space. He's getting, like, a full head of steam.
He's in a running start to go by you.
And Westbrook's the type of guy, which I've always respected of him, he's got that Mamba mentality. He's so competitive.
Yeah,
like you said, he gets them going.
Well, that's why when I was writing about it afterwards, I mean, the thing that hits me is like those guys just came in there, and as much as they got that slow start, they said, no, this is our game. We're taking it. Get the fuck out of our way. Now, I'm not saying the Celtics need to go and turn into that. They're not that. As much as Smart like is similar to Russ and Beverly and all those ways, how they try to be tough and shit, they're not that. But they need that kind of animal in them a little bit to get them to that next level. That's what the Rockets have. And, I mean, I don't know that they necessarily should, but they do. And that's why Russ wins. In the Western Conference, say what you will, LeBron went there. I get it. They sucked, but that's also partially on LeBron in his first year. He didn't make the postseason. Does Russ have those same problems? And I know he had Paul George, but I mean, come on. He's still with the Thunder. It's a little bit different. Mm-hmm. And LeBron's supposed to be the greatest ever. But I loved watching him. I love watching him get after it. He is an animal.
No, I mean, he does some dumb shit sometimes, but I love guys that just set the tempo like that, man. He just said all night, I'm getting to the rack. Ain't nothing you can do. He did this after he scored, a little baby motion. rocking the cradle.
Rocking the cradle, putting you to bed. Yeah. But going back, well, I mean, looking at either of those games, the big thing that comes up out of all of it is, I would say, the bench is the one thing that keeps coming up over and over with this team that we continue to hit on. I mean, it's whether it's the bench scoring, just in general not having enough quality players or whatever. My thing is, you have six guys who can score on this team. I mean, Tice is not, if he's a 10-point scorer, 10 points per game or whatever, right, that's the best you're getting normally. But when you have Smart who can score 15 a game for you, have Hayward who should be able to score 15 a game for you, and then you have the other three guys who are 20-plus, I'm not necessarily looking for my bench scoring. And I'm starting to wonder, where everybody keeps complaining about that the lack of offense off the bench, maybe, again, not to continue to make Gordon the focal point, but maybe that's where the real issue is. Because if you have six guys who can score, you should be fine. I want some guys who are more defensive-minded after that. That's why I'm fine with Shemmy not being the greatest, offensive talent or whatever, or Robert Williams or whatever.
No, I agree with you. I just don't think they have, like, a legit offensive threat off the bench.
Well, I mean, Smart's are technically their guy off the bench.
And he's more of a defense. He should be. Mm-hmm. You know, Brad. That's the thing I have with Brad about that. Like, people complain about Marcus Smart. I'm done with the Marcus Smart. You know, he shoots too much. It's not his fault, man. They let him do this.
But the 29 threes over the last two games is absurd.
I'm with you, Ty. But if the coach doesn't say shit to you, aren't you going to keep doing it?
Yes.
Yeah, and I think that's what the shot that Brad wants. Hey, you're open. You've proven that you can make them.
No, and I've always said this about Marcus Smart. If it's a catch in rhythm, catch and shoot three, I'm okay with it. He's not a terrible three-point shooter. It's the bullshit when he comes, when it's off the dribble, and he's acting like, you're not Kemba, bro.
Nope.
You're not Tatum. If it's not catch and shoot, move the ball or attack the basket.
No dribble pull-up threes for Marcus Smart ever.
Hell no. I saw someone put the stat out that he's apparently pretty good at that, too. And this is where you run into the problems with the stat stuff.
No.
The dribble pull up three?
Yeah. Where he's apparently pretty good at that too.
I feel like he only takes those when the defense is sagging off him early in the shot clock. He's like, well, if you're gonna do that, I'll take it. And it's like, well,
he had a possession last night, and it's stuck in my head, Ty. Brought it up, came off a ball screen with Tice. Tice pops, both guys went with Smart, easily just kick it back to him, not for even for a shot, just to get some motion, right? Or now Tice drives, creates offense for somebody else, whatever. Now, because you're putting the defensive predicament, because Smart draw two guys with him. Mm-hmm. Nope, Smart kept the ball, literally dribbled the whole goddamn shot clock out, and then chucked a three.
It's what we hate about James Harden.
I mean, exactly. And that's bullshit. That's horrible offense. I mean, even if Harden, your best player took it, if Kemba took it, because you know what? None of those guys got involved in the entire offense. You get that shot whenever you want. And, for me personally, if I had to play defense, that last possession, grind out, get a stop, and now I have to come down, watch you dribble the shit out of the ball, and then chuck it, why the hell would I want to go back and play defense again?
When you look at how the top five players in the Celtics have only played, 19 games, where it's all of them, that's one of those things where
that's concerning. That's concerning.
That's one of those things that I get worried about, is what is Smart going to look like when it's those five out there?
Because it's different, right? Because you're coming off the bench, you're playing with different guys.
Mm-hmm.
He shouldn't be shooting as much. 15 threes in a game? Come on.
Now, that sounds concerning. They've only played less than 20 games as a full roster together, but couldn't you make the case that that is actually reason for optimism?
Yeah.
Because this team hasn't peaked. They haven't played together. They're in basically the first month of the full group playing together in terms of experience. So, like, they haven't – nobody can claim they've peaked so far. You cannot claim that. This team should get better throughout the year. I agree with you, Ty,
but don't you think that – if you haven't seen what you have as a collective group, we don't honestly know what they could.
Yeah,
right. You're right. They could be better. Or shit, it could be a disaster.
I don't think it. I think I hate to be like this. I think you both have points, like valid points. I don't think it'll be a disaster though. But what I'm saying is,
but it could not live up to standard. Is what I'm saying.
Right. My concern is just the habits that some of these guys are developing.
Correct.
When they're out there with certain mm-hmm. individuals. Now Smart's going to come. The other thing is we've seen. When they're all out there together, what usually happens is Smart goes in, and Cantor comes in. I'm assuming we're going to start seeing more and more of Robert Williams because Cantor, he was
terrible.
Holy shit! This is where we hear the criticism from any of the radio hosts, whether it's here or across the street,
about the
Green Teamers, right?
Yes.
And Celtics fans are fans. How you choose to be a fan is your prerogative. Like, we have one of our loyal listeners, right? Philly J, right?
Mm-hmm.
He loves to shit on Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown, but he loves the Celtics, right? But that's his thing. But then we have, there's plenty of other people who Ty has to take fucking calls from that are like, the Celtics are the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Peter and Jamaica Plain.
Okay, yeah, elect Marcus Smart for freaking president, right? They're fans. But when we have, in the middle of the season, when Cantor has shown, oh, you know what? He looks a little bit better defensively. We acknowledged it here. We absolutely, right? You acknowledged it.
Not,
I know I did.
Not last night he didn't.
No, last night he didn't.
I thought Cantor was great.
And that's my point, is you go into, like, when there are bold takes, like, that I understand. I made a bold take after the Lakers game saying the Celtics are contenders. I understand that. But see, that shit gets watered down when everybody's saying, Gordon's back. Gordon's not back. He's not. When people say Cantor's actually pretty good defensively because of this number, that number.
He's not.
Give it time. Give it fucking time. What has happened? What did we see against the friggin' Nets?
Well, you know what it is. I almost swore.
You can swear. I've sworn like 15 times.
It's all good. It's good. I want to keep it PG for the listeners out there. Anyway,
I'm sorry, everybody. I don't care about you. That's what Matt basically just told you.
Defense is a mindset.
A-hole.
Defense is a mindset. You know that because you like playing defense.
I love it.
Cantor, like, how can you say someone's good defensively is when they pick and choose when to play? My buddy that I was with last night made a great point. He's like, you know, he's so athletic on the offensive end, gets rebounds, all this stuff. Then you watch him on defense, and it's like, it doesn't make sense how he's not at least a decent defender.
I don't get it. He's definitely moving around worse since he got that groin injury or whatever it was.
Right.
Whatever.
And that affects your movement left or right.
He just doesn't even look like he wants to play defense.
That's what I was going to say. There's more to it.
He's not a dog.
He's not. No, he's not. But Robert Williams looks...
He played okay last night. His first game back.
Yeah, he played okay last night. He's getting banged around by DeAndre Jordan, who can... That bastard still gets after it.
DeAndre Jordan.
Dude, he still bangs.
$9 million for that guy? Please.
10, actually.
It's even worse. Six points and 12 rebounds. Congrats.
Right, well, but he still rebounds. And he can still throw guys around. And he was doing that to Cantor, who's supposed to be the strong dude. And he's throwing Cantor around like it's nothing.
What a night for Enes Cantor.
But how do we feel about Rob being back? Because I thought that was a halfway decent start. He caught a few lobs, a few tip slams. He only played 9 minutes, scored, 8 points?
No, I thought it's a good addition. I like him more than Cantor. I do.
Yes.
But no one wants to talk about how bad Wanamaker was last night.
Oh, I mean, I know
people think I'm crazy. But come on now, I got more people coming my way. By the way,
I don't doubt you do.
JC said last night he's coming on the squad. He's coming on the Wanamaker hate list. We're sick of him. He sucked. You know, actually, you want to know time when I left last night?
Yeah.
So I looked at my buddy. I go, all right, if they don't score in this, it was overtime because I was like, I can't watch this group play.
Right.
I go, if they don't score right here, we're out because LeVert scored like two baskets in a row. Wanamaker shoots a three. I don't think it hit anything. And I looked at him, I said, yep, we out. Are you shitting me, Wanamaker? You suck. I mean, I'm done with him. I'm done. Bring up Tremont. I'm done with him.
Oh, you're done with him now?
I've been done with him.
So March 4th is the day that Matt is officially done with Brett Wanamaker.
R.I.P. Brett Wanamaker's career.
And I'm sick of, like, the people saying, like, the Celtics, like, Scal and all them. Just like, oh, they just...
They love
Bradley. He appreciates all the minutes he gets out there.
Well, listen, I can't name one soft guy on the Celtics roster.
Oh, that's perfect.
One soft guy, yeah. I can name him.
No, I wouldn't say it's Wanamaker.
No.
Yeah.
No, I don't think he's soft. I just don't think he's that good. It's Gordon. I just the knee thing last night, because he was shooting free throws at halftime. Am I crazy?
I don't know if
you noticed it. He was shooting free throws at he came back on the court to before the halftime ended.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think Ty brought up an interesting point. Like, when we were talking before the show, he said maybe they just didn't care about that game at the end of it, because Brad said it. Like, I should have played guys who play more sooner.
Well, here's my problem with that. Because I agree with you, and they're only up 4 against the Cavs. That's a joke. Anyway, I agree with you that I don't think, obviously they didn't care about that game, especially once overtime started. But to blow a 20-point lead, you can't tell me, I don't care if you care about winning or not. You win that game. But what I'm concerned about is I don't have the standings in front of me. How far are they behind Toronto?
1.5. Okay. Coming into, we are recording this while the Cavs-Celtics game is going on. I will go home and watch afterwards and write about.
So you need, to me personally, the East is a 6-team conference.
Right, yes.
And I think it's like a game last night you need to win. I don't care if you say it's a regular season, but no, you're in a race right now, because if you're the 2 seed, you end up playing the Magic or the Brooklyn Nets. Give me those two scrub-ass teams right in the first round. Get it out of the way. That's a sweep. Boom. But, hey, you stay where you are at 3. Now you're playing the Pacers. I think the Pacers...
The Sixers are the 6th team right now.
Okay, or the Sixers. This,
yeah.
Right? Those two teams, I don't want to see in the first round.
Nope.
As much as I think Ben Simmons sucks and Joel Embiid's crazy.
No, they're definitely tougher teams. You can't...
why I said those games are important. You can't just toss those away. And that's what pissed me off last night.
You cannot blow these games. You can't take it. I don't understand the rationale behind Brad. I mean, I get him playing Carson Edwards. I do. And those are the perfect games to do it. But you said it, too. You just go and, was it Shemmy, right? We said it before.
Shemmy didn't play till the 4th quarter, right?
No, he didn't play overtime.
He started in overtime.
He played all 5 minutes in overtime, and that's it.
Yeah.
That is ridiculous.
Well, at least at that point, put Romeo in, to be honest with you.
Romeo was starting games last month, and now he can't play at all last night?
He played a little bit, and he actually had a nice dunk.
He yammed on somebody. But the point is,
he should have played in overtime.
Now Ty's getting excited.
Clearly, yesterday, Brad had a plan that he was only going to play, I wouldn't say the scrubs, but guys who don't get run.
Right.
Like Carson Edwards. And Shemmy's going to be on the bench, Romeo on the bench. We'll get Wanamaker in. Canter didn't play a whole lot last night. But it seemed like he was going out of his way to get more minutes to guys who don't really get the run.
And that's fine if you're up, they were up 20. But, dude, close the game. My Christ.
Well, at what point do you look at it and say, this shit's getting out of control? We got to put in some guys who are going to lock it down and, Tice has 5 fouls. He came out at the 7-minute mark, didn't come back in until there was 1 minute left in the game.
Yeah.
He's one of your best guys. How do you not bring him back in? All we hear is he's not a traditional big, right? I get the offense, whatever. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about defense, because at that point you needed to slow things down, right? So you want to put Rob out there and leave him out there to protect the rim. Fine. Tice can guard, force and be fine. He can hang with a 3 here and there. You're not going to go put him on Karis, right? So what the fuck is he doing sitting on the bench the whole time?
Hey, you're up 3 with the ball. 6 seconds left.
They should have played Romeo all 48 minutes, Ty.
I agree.
That's what should have happened.
100% agree.
That's the other thing that is strange about some of this stuff is when you look at... Brad has said all year it's about the matchups. It's about the matchups. And I get that. When we look at the Rockets game, you're not going to bring Robert Williams in that game. The tallest guy is 6'7". What's the point? What?
I'm sorry. If the Celtics lose to the Cavs tonight, I just read this. Kevin Porter Jr. was supposed to start for the Cavs, but forgot to put his jersey on, forcing Dellavedova to get the start. If you lose, I'm sorry. I know only Tatum was playing tonight.
Doesn't matter.
You lose to this scrub-ass team tonight, that's a problem.
You had any action on this game?
No.
Good. Yeah, smart. Smart effort.
But are you kidding me? They got guys that forgot to put on their jersey.
This is another... They've only had one other rough stretch this year.
The Celtics?
Yeah, that I can really think of.
Didn't they lose 3 or 4 in a row?
Something like that. I think it was 4. But now they have... So after the Cavs game, they have the Jazz, they have the Thunder, they have the Pacers, and they have the Bucks.
God damn. Dude, that's a good road run right there.
Yeah, and the Pacers and the Bucks are on the road. That is a freaking... That's going to be a fun stretch, though. But, actually, I'm saying that. Who the hell knows? You're not going to have Jalen for any of those games. Because the Bucks are on Thursday.
So he's definitely out for 2 weeks.
It's, yeah, it was, Washburn tweeted out a week. When
dude, that's the other thing that's concerning. So many of these guys have been hurt, man.
Hayward's day-to-day. Well, let's see. Now, the Kemba Walker thing, right? Because that's one everybody's been really concerned about a lot, right? I got to be honest. I'm not in the same camp as everybody when it comes to the concerns. I think he's actually... Brad has been
He looked fine last night.
Yeah, he looked fine. I mean, I don't think he was full Kemba, but I think he was fine. Mm-hmm. I think that it's first game back after, you know, four-game layoff. He had the knee inflammation and all that crap, whatever. It's against the Nets. It's not this, you know, big game or whatever. My thing is, though, he said it himself. He would have played in the Rockets game if it's up to him. The team's making that decision to not have him play. If he was with the Hornets still, he might have sat out one of these games. That was it. I mean, he plays all the games.
Definitely no.
He doesn't sit out.
I never complained about Kemba not playing.
But I think it's Hayward. It's not his effort or anything like that, or him, like, his commitment, I guess, because that's your concern with Hayward is what it sounds like.
I just think he's soft.
Okay, I don't think Kemba. Yeah. Okay, fine. I don't think Kemba's soft. I think the Celtics just want to handle him with kid gloves.
And I think they've been doing that.
Because there is reason to be concerned.
But they've been doing
that
with everybody. Brown's been out, nicked up like a couple of times. Like, I just feel like a lot of these players, and maybe it's just the mentality. Like, you know, guys back in the day didn't do that just because they had a little injury. You know,
I think it's Hayward more than anybody.
Oh,
Hayward's worse. I mean, I don't think Jalen's had a lot of... Jalen's probably gotten more injuries than anybody this year. Yeah, like, just random-ass ones. It's like, it's an ankle one day, it's a hand, whatever.
Toughen up, bro. Rub some dirt on it.
Well, Tatum's the one that's never hurt. By the way, have you finally switched
yes.
over? Okay, good.
I don't know. What was the question?
Oh, okay.
What was the question?
I was
saying yes because you looked at me and I acknowledged you. Yes.
You have finally switched over to Tatum is better than Brown, right? Because you were not on that side before.
I mean, current day, yes. I would say, yeah. I don't know if I'm ready to say I'm Team Tatum over Jalen Brown just yet. I'll wait till the end of the year before I, you know, that'd be a quick flip flop by me. That'd be a Glenn Ordway flip flop in terms of like 2 months.
No, but at least you give an opinion. Glenn doesn't
yes.
even do that.
He would say, "Well, the information could change, so I don't really want to talk about that."
And then he'd shit on somebody for going and getting too excited about Tatum
yep.
doing well.
Kemba Walker.
I'm surprised that you... I mean, I respect you not wanting to flip-flop tie, but I mean, what more do you need to see?
I would like to see Tatum do this for longer than a month.
All right. I mean,
I'm not convinced this is who he is permanently. Mm-hmm. There's a really good chance it is. A 90% chance I'm throwing it out there, but I would like to see it for a longer sample size.
Yeah.
He's clearly the better player right now and probably going forward, but I'm stern. I'll stay with my guy.
Okay. Now, Brown was a 2016 draft pick. So was LeVert. I think he was... I think he was 21
yeah.
overall.
It was
Karis?
In the 20s.
Yeah, I think he was 21 overall. But
he was in the 20s.
My question to you guys is Karis LeVert now a top 10 player in the NBA after what he did the other night?
No.
I'm kidding. It was a joke. You think I was actually serious there?
I hope not, because I'm still pissed about it, about what he did last night.
I honestly, man, he's a good player. But
I guess anybody in the league can score 50 nowadays. You got to be shitting me.
Yeah, I mean, the way the league is now, anybody. You're right. It happens a lot more often.
Me.
You know what was crazy, though, is he's only the second guy to do that against the Celtics since the turn of the century.
Last year, Booker was the last guy. I felt like a bunch of guys were just getting buckets on them. Remember, there was like a stretch where everybody was just lighting them up? Like,
well,
Jamal
yeah,
Murray.
I'm not saying not lighting them up, but I'm saying you're not having a guy score 50 every night, though.
The fact that Caris LeVert scored 50 points last night is an absolute joke.
26.
Joke.
What pick was he, Ty?
He was 20.
20, okay. 20, yeah. 26 points in one quarter. That's what a team does. I couldn't believe...
Joke.
It was bad. So is that the worst loss under Brad Stevens?
I would say it has to be...
It's got to be the most embarrassing one, I think.
It's embarrassing in the sense, Ty, because you can forget about... Like, I've gotten over, like, they've given up a 20-point lead, because in the NBA, you see it all the time.
Happens all the time,
you got the ball... 6 seconds left, you're up three. You don't lose those games. You don't. You don't. You don't. You don't. And it's the way they lost it was just really bad.
You lose to the third string guys. That
overtime.
Just Harris. How do you not just stop him? No Dinwiddie. No Joe Harris. No, I mean.
The overtime last night was like watching a preseason game. That's how pathetic. People were literally leaving before the overtime started. They were gone.
You knew it was over when they put out that starting lineup. It was so pathetic. Kemba was on the bench. Hayward was done. Jalen was out.
Yep.
Smart was playing 40 minutes at that point. It was over.
Yeah.
But I would say, though, it seemed like I just had a total brain fart. Totally forgot where I was going.
We were talking about the fact that this might be the most embarrassing loss for the Celtics ever, or the worst loss.
Would you agree with that statement? Because we never hear anything negative about the Celtics from Kyle Draper.
Is
and
true?
We almost got a negative statement last night out of him. This is incredible.
I expected to be almost home by now, Scout. This should have been a ho-hum March win for the Boston Celtics. They led by 21 points at one point. But how in the world do they lose this game 129-120? I'm fired up right now. This is a game, Scal.
Oh, I don't know. Go ahead, say it, man. Yeah. I'm frustrated.
This is a game.
This is ridiculous, man. This
cannot
happen.
To haunt the Celtics. This is a game that could be the difference between having home court in the second round versus Toronto or opening up on the road. Is this the worst loss in the Brad Stevens era? To me, it has to be. Only because you're up big, you close out. You're on a back-to-back. You should be dusting them up with this,
right?
And you move on. But it goes the opposite way.
Radio.com's own Scal from Scal and Pals.
Scal and Pals.
Mm, yes. Man.
Slowly gaining traction, but it's gaining, I think. I'm not really sure. Hopefully.
Okay. Anyway, Scal has a fair point that might be the worst loss under Brad Stevens.
Has to be.
I mean, my thing is just whenever it comes to that kind of like you're putting a definitive, the worst ever, I have to go back and look at a bunch of games.
If one doesn't pop into your mind, it's probably at least fair to throw in the conversation.
It's definitely in the conversation, and it's definitely embarrassing. It's definitely the most embarrassing. I don't know if that makes it the worst. Maybe it does automatically. I don't know. Because, you mean, Caris LeVert is not a guy. If that was, you know, Kevin Durant who did it, even with those scrubs, it's like, okay, it makes a little bit more sense, still ridiculous. But the best guy after him offensively was TLC. It should not, that just shouldn't happen. But yeah, that is the most negative you're going to hear Draper get.
It is. I mean, he handed off the talking to Scout because he was going to say something negative. I mean, listen to this.
120. I'm fired up right now. This is a game, Scout.
I'm fired up.
I don't know. Go ahead, say it, man. I'm frustrated. This is
a game.
He just handed it off. He's like, I'm going to say something I'm going to regret. So here you go, Scout. So you can say it.
I'm frustrated.
Drapes is always good to me. I can't. I mean, I don't.
He sounds like a very nice guy, but incapable of saying anything negative about the Celtics.
No, he really is.
Does he get paid by them? Is he an official team employee? I know it's NBC Sports Boston with the Celtics. But.
I don't think so. I don't think he's. I don't know. He's not an official team employee. No. No, he's not. I don't think Scal is either. Or none of them are. But I think there's like the Celtics have a partial ownership in NBC Sports Boston, maybe.
This is a great day for Celtics basketball.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't say that. Tuesday, or what was it? What the hell is today? Tuesday? Man, the days are really freaking starting to blend together on me. It is killing me. Do you guys have anything else Celtics related, or can we get on to
I'm off them.
Okay. Well, actually, we're going to go with a perk take here. What does Drape have to say?
Nothing.
Yeah, I do have a perk take for you guys, because the Miami Heat have now played the Bucks twice this year, and they are 2-0 against them. And they held them to, was it sub-90 the other night? I think they scored 86 or 89 points against the Heat. And Perk says that, I said on Twitter, he actually didn't ask the question. He made the proclamation that the Heat have the advantage over the Bucks in a 7-game series, which might be the dumbest. He said a lot of dumb things. He also said some smart things, too. That might be the dumbest thing that he has said this season so far. The Heat are impressive. It would be a dogfight of a series. But you can't say no one has an advantage over the Bucks in a 7-game series unless you're from Los Angeles right now. And even then, I don't know that they necessarily do. That's it.
The Bucks have the best player.
Exactly.
That's the end of the story.
So they always have the advantage.
There's
no question about it. No, I'm not questioning
Giannis.
You.
I don't know. Hey, but he's got no skill, according to James Harden.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He has no skill. Mm-hmm. Did you get to talk about that at all?
Nope. It's okay. I don't want to because I'm done with James Harden.
It sounds like he's taking all the energy out of you.
Nah, he hasn't. You know what? I watched him this weekend, and the proof's in the pudding, bro. You got no skill. You got no right hand, dog.
You do have people talking about some of the stereotypes that have blown up around you. Charles Barkley, when they had the All-Star draft, was saying, no one wants to take James Harden. He's a dribbler. Giannis Antetokounmpo makes a joke on the air about, I want to take someone who can pass. I'm taking Kemba Walker instead of James Harden.
I have more assists than him, I think.
You ranked 10th in assists going into the All-Star break, and Kemba ranked 36th in assists going into the All-Star break.
So I don't see what the joke is. But I don't
see the joke.
I don't
feel like I'm the best player in the league.
I just know none of them can mess with me.
Shut up.
Stupid.
Well, Daryl Morey, your general manager, had a great line to kind of address all of that. He said, being different doesn't really get appreciated until it works.
Yeah, or when I'm done. When it's all said and done.
I won't.
I'll appreciate you know, when you're done.
They'll appreciate it more. You know, but I wish I could just run and with 7 feet and run and just dunk. Like, that takes no skill at all.
That whole take was just a bunch of bullshit, to be honest with you. You gotta tell me Giannis has no skill. The dude can dribble. He's literally a guard at 7 feet tall.
Right.
Now,
would we
all like to be 7 feet tall? Yes. Mm-hmm. I get that point of it. But to say he has no skill is bullshit. Because, to be honest with you, bro, I don't think you have that much skill either. Tell me what you do. And you saw my Twitter post. I think what I said is pretty accurate. He does not have a right hand. I watched him the entire game. He went to his right twice and got his shit pinned.
His greatest skill is his ability to draw fouls.
I get it. But I also think it's a bullshit NBA rule. Now, I don't think half of them are fouls.
Well, I mean, that's what he said.
His other moves are travels. Yep. He flops on so many jump shots. It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. He kicks that leg out.
That drives me nuts. That drives me nuts. He just falls every time. But, like, he's so full of shit, and this is where I'm like, and I know Ty won't like to hear this, but, like, the fact that he said that he's the best player is bullshit, because if you watch LeBron James still play, he's the best player in the league. I'm sorry. You heard it here.
LeBron, Nick right over there?
I'm dead serious. I'm dead serious.
You just said Giannis has the best player.
Huh?
You said the Bucks have the best player.
No, against the Heat.
Oh.
I thought that's what you meant. That's the best
player. I just thought you were saying, dude, you can't fuck around with that mic.
It's still LeBron. I think it's still LeBron's league.
The way it gets covered, absolutely. I mean, you look at Bleacher Report's Twitter. I love seeing them get ripped constantly. They always get thrashed.
I mean, he just still, like, just, I don't know.
That one right there made me the greatest player of all time.
I don't have to like him, but I can respect what I still watch.
Oh, he's still turning in 30-point triple-doubles. This is insane.
He's ridiculous.
He's absolutely ridiculous. And I saw, I don't know, it might have been freaking Park again for all I know, but I think it was on The Jump they were talking about how LeBron being as old as he is and doing as well as he is should factor in to him being the MVP this year. And be a factor in MVP consideration.
That is so ridiculous. Who said that?
I think it was on The Jump. I definitely heard it from one of those men or women, that
person should be fired. That is so stupid. Like, that is basically saying Tom Brady is really old this year, so we got to grade him on a scale because he's old.
He should be an MVP.
Stupid. That seems
He should
ridiculous.
Be an MVP for what Tyler just said. He's dropping 30 points, triple doubles. Like, that's why
nobody's doing that. The age has nothing to do with it. It makes him more impressive, but what he's doing, nobody else in the league's doing.
Giannis is going to get it over him.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with if Giannis does that. I mean, that's fine with me. As long as James Harden doesn't get it, because I'm the fact that he thinks he's like, when he's like, oh, I average more assists than him, bro, the ball is in your hands for 75% of the game. You have 10 assists. What's your turnover, you know, assist to turnover ratio? You turn the ball over a shitload too.
I want to take someone who can pass. I'm taking Kemba Walker instead of James Harden.
We shit on stats and stuff, but there are stats that I actually care about. I mean, there are some 100%. That are freaking important. But here's the thing. Just because you rack up a ton of assists doesn't mean, oh yeah, definitely a good passer. Because there are other good passes that you make in the course of a game, too.
He's not a good passer.
The pass to the assist.
He's not a good passer. LeBron is a great passer.
Well, LeBron is an outstanding passer.
There's a difference. Like, don't tell me you're this great assist guy. No, you're not.
No.
You're not a great passer.
No, I think Giannis is still going to get it because you look at how the Bucks are doing. I don't know how you cannot give it to him. And then I don't think that voters will have AD being on his team. I don't think they'll hold that against LeBron. But LeBron is also a victim of the same thing that Tom Brady's a victim of. Kobe only won it once too, right?
Yeah, which is bullshit.
He's kind of a victim of it's like the same thing. And there are other guys that I'm sure you could have that same thing with through the years.
I've always been a big believer in, like, to me, the season MVP doesn't mean shit. I've always said that. Win the finals MVP. I think that means way more.
Well, of course.
Because, like you just say, the fact that Kobe Bryant only won one in his career is a bunch of horse shit.
But
was Steve Nash a good player and deserve it? Yeah. Dude, Kobe was averaging literally 36.
Nash won it twice, right?
I believe
Ty, can you look that up? I think Nash won it twice, which is, when you look at it like
Steve
that.
Nash was good. Like, yes, he was a really good player.
Should he be a two-time MVP and Kobe Bryant?
Not even close to Kobe Bryant. That's what I'm saying.
See, I have a problem with arguments like that, though, because in that season, he may have been deserving for MVP, but you would never pick him over LeBron or anyone else in the era. So, like, Derrick Rose is probably the guy who most people point to. Like, he took an MVP from LeBron. Derrick Rose has never been better than LeBron, but that season he was as good as LeBron James was on a very damn good team.
Yeah, but Ty, he deserved it, and that's why I'm saying Steve Nash deserved that MVP.
Two-time MVP, Steve Nash, two-time.
That's what I'm saying. That shouldn't happen. But whatever, he deserved it that season. I've always said, whatever, that James Harden, you can win an MVP until you win a Finals MVP. Right, I think that means way more than any bullshit MVP. Right, I really do.
No, I agree. That's because then you're winning, and that's what it comes down to. But the thing is that LeBron, Brady, Kobe, that they all kind of fall victim to like these like generational talents, and it didn't happen to MJ, which is weird, and it's not happening to Mike Trout in baseball either. Is these guys are so freaking good that it's always like, all right, they're always like you expect X from them. You expect them to be at this level, and if they meet it, it's like, oh, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
But then you get Matt Ryan, who goes and meets it, and then it's like, oh, you got to give it to him, because he never does it.
100%.
Exactly. Yeah. And that'll happen to Mahomes probably down the line, too. Yeah. He gets his recognition, but eventually, it's the same thing.
Like Brady.
Yep. It's the same thing with LeBron and like those guys. But at the same time, I agree with what you guys are saying. There are times where, that's why I hate the freaking Trout argument. It's like, oh, he's the best player in the game. Well, yeah, he is, but there are guys who play better than him that year. That happens with Steph, right? I mean, it happens with KD.
Because LeBron just sits on this pedestal, and if he doesn't live up to it, like, he could still have a good season, but if he's not exceeding what he's already done, people are like, whatever. That's why I've always tried to appreciate, like, how good of a basketball player is. Now, do I hate all the other bullshit about him? Yes. Like, you know, how he acts on the court. But, like, as a basketball player, has, like, an IQ, you know, everything about him.
Yes.
You know, I try to appreciate it because you won't. Like, James Harden, I will never appreciate you after you're done. LeBron, I will.
I just know none of them can mess with me.
You know what I'm saying? He's just a tool. Like, he sucks.
Here's a hot take for you. The fact that Russell Westbrook has had to deal with him all season long and they're still successful, Russell Westbrook should be the MVP of the NBA.
Yeah, I just hate that whole team.
That's my stance now. I'm sticking with it.
They should just get rid of that whole team.
So you hate that whole team now? Yeah. Why do you hate that whole team?
No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I like Russ. I like Tucker.
And again, I stand by this. I like him, but I would not. I don't know that I'd want to necessarily have him on my team.
I feel like Austin Rivers hasn't made a bucket in like 3 years. He's just always
He had a really good like high school mixtape. And that was
insane at Duke. Yeah. I think that last bucket he's ever made in his career was the game winner at North Carolina.
That was a bucket.
Other than that guy misses long on every three-point shot he ever takes in his whole career. Unbelievable.
I love it. Seriously, one of the best high school mixtapes I've ever seen, and the UNC 3 was crazy.
He was supposed to be the truth, and he just misses a lot.
He's not panned out.
He is who he is.
Like we thought he was going to when he got drafted. You know what? The one guy who has finally picked it up this year, one of the rookies, is RJ Barrett. And what did I tell you guys? And I might have actually said it. Maybe I said it with Shime when we did a crossover. I definitely said it to you guys. Yeah, but I definitely said it to you guys. I thought RJ Barrett, with Zion being out for so long, that if RJ Barrett was almost as good as Ja, not quite as good, but almost as good, he was going to start getting Rookie of the Year recognition. Do you guys remember me saying that?
Mm-hmm.
That he was going to be in that conversation? Right now, who would you guys vote as your Rookie of the Year? Unanimous?
Ja.
With Zion closing very hard.
He's
going to get a lot of votes because of his hype.
I don't think he should get it. Because
he's super efficient.
He missed too many.
He's outstanding, and he's the better player, but I mean, there's something to be said about durability and actually freaking playing. Fine. You know, obviously, he's going to be better. But now I'm seeing a headline out of the New York Post saying RJ Barrett making waves in Zion Williamson Ja Morant debate. I mean, why is RJ Barrett's not? I mean, the Knicks suck, first of all. I get he's a rookie, but the Knicks suck.
The Knicks are horrible.
There's no way that Ja should not get this award. I mean, he's the number one candidate by far. I feel like this is the biggest. This may be the biggest lock of any award. Defensive Player of the Year is still up in the air. MVP is still up in the air. I think Rookie of the Year, it's easily Ja Morant. I don't care what Zion Williamson does for the rest of the season. He's the max he can play is what? Like, not even 40 games. You can't not play half the year and win that award.
Well, Ben Simmons almost won it without being a rookie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was stupid. I think Zion might actually win it, but I don't think
I honestly think he will win it
because of, like Ty said, the hype. But
he's literally unstoppable.
What he did to Kuzma when they played, I remember what day it was. Oh my god,
that was unstoppable.
That was like me playing like a third grader in the back and putting the hoop down.
That was your teachers versus students picture game.
If I wanted to do that to a student, that's what it looked like. Yeah, that was ridiculous.
You had your Zion moment though. Go check out 5Out on Twitter, guys, and you'll see what we're talking about.
You wrote on the thing Pelicans gonna make the playoffs. The only thing I don't like about the Pelicans when I watched that Lakers game, I mean, was there any defense being played in that game? I mean, at one time it just looked like an all-star game. Like, they would come down, dunk. Lakers would come down, layup. You know, even after, LeBron hit a ridiculous three after that Zion dunk. But I don't know. I just feel like they're really good offensively. They push the ball. Lonzo makes really good passes, but they just don't get stops.
I think that the Grizzlies are in a little bit of trouble with injuries. As much as they're still, as we're doing the podcast, and it'll take a couple games for them to drop, but they're still eighth. But you have Jaren Jackson who's hurt. You have Clark that's hurt too. I don't know. And you have four teams nipping at your heels now, too, because the freaking Kings came out of nowhere, and they're the number nine team as we're recording this. So you have them. You have the Blazers, the Spurs, who, I mean, no offense to Finis Dembo, but, I mean, do we still think the Spurs are going to get in?
We're out on them.
They've been cemented in that, like, 10-9 range for a while. It's going to be the Kings or the Pelicans that somehow sneak in, if it's not the Grizzlies. But I still think that the Pelicans are going to find a way to sneak in. I do. I just think that Zion's a force. I mean, and I don't think I have to convince you, Ty, that they'll sneak their way in.
You have him and Jrue Holiday. They should clearly overtake whoever's there for the 8th seed.
And then you have Brandon Ingram, too, right?
Memphis right now, right?
Memphis.
At the 8th seed.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
New Orleans clearly the better team.
Well, I mean, when they get their shit going, yeah, they're clearly the better
New Orleans?
Team. Right now, they have a better ceiling, but yeah. I don't know. Without Jackson, without Brandon Clark, I want to see them with Jackson and Brandon Clark out there going against
full strength.
Yeah, because they don't have that right now. I don't know how long they're necessarily going to be out for. I think it was 2 weeks for both of those guys, and I know Clark doesn't have the same role as Jaren Jackson, but not having both of those guys is pretty significant at the same time. But as much as the RJ Barrett thing is annoying, it's not even the friggin' most ridiculous thing coming out of New York this week. It's that whole Spike Lee fiasco. I mean, this guy, when you think of superfans across sports, there's one guy who's
like, when I think of the Knicks, I think of Spike Lee. I don't even think of any of the bum-ass players on their team.
There you go. I mean, that's it right there. I think of James Dolan first because he's such a friggin' clown, and again, proving it. But you go, and this is the guy who's kind of like, basically, I mean, he's the face of the franchise. You feel that same way about him, Ty? He's the face of the Knicks franchise?
I would agree with you guys, yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, this is the face of the franchise, and then this video surfaces on Twitter of him at the Garden, and he actually explained it on First Take the other day, right?
I've been using the same entrance for 28-plus years, the employee's entrance on 33rd Street. Yesterday, last night, I go in, my ticket gets scanned. The elevator.
Yes.
I go in the elevator. And also, people having their ticket scanned also. And elevator's not moving. And the security guy comes to me and says, we need you to get off the elevator. I said, for what? So we could speak about it now. I said, I'm not getting out of the elevator. The garden floor is on the 5th floor. Elevator go up to 5, and security's waiting for you like he just ran out of Macy's stealing something. He says, Mr. Lee, you have to leave Madison Square Garden, walk outside, that out to 33rd Street, employee, that's where I came from, walk outside and come back on 31st Street.
Am I supposed to feel bad for him?
No. I don't think you should feel bad for him. I just think it's like, what a ridiculous...
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel bad for Spike, but I just think that this is unbelievably disrespectful for a guy who...
Yeah. When they broke down how much money he has paid?
$10 million watching that scrub ass team
for that product.
Don't ever make fun of Green
Team. They should literally carry him to his seats. How much money he has paid for that bullshit product?
Oh my god, dude! I mean,
is like maybe the third or fourth time I've heard this cut, but I didn't really grasp the point where he said like, "Hey, they asked me to come off the elevator." I was like, "No, I'm not leaving the elevator." Isn't that grounds to get you kicked off of out of the premises? I know he's donated. I know he's bought millions of dollars.
He's donated.
He basically is donating money to the Knicks program. They're a charity at this point.
Seriously.
But if he's defying orders from stadium personnel about, hey, can you come off the elevator? We didn't talk to you about, there's a new entrance. We want you to use it. He refused that conversation and said, I'm not getting off this elevator.
An elevator, also people having the ticket scan also.
Okay, so there's a new entrance for ticket holders.
Yep.
They wanted to tell you about it. You refused that conversation and he's being kicked out.
But he's also, I mean, okay, now he said it in the course of the whole thing.
Yeah.
He said, I have not asked for special treatment as a celebrity. Obviously, Spike Lee's what? He's like an Academy Award winning director, right? I mean, I think it's Academy that he's won. Either way, he's a big deal. He doesn't ask for that special treatment. Fine. So when something like this comes up, if he's not asking for that special treatment, to me, it doesn't bother me as much. Now, if one of us did it, yeah, it's grounds to get kicked out because who the hell are we? But and I know the Knicks do shit like this all the time. I think Frank Isola tweeted that out.
Yep.
This happens to everybody all the time. Shit gets moved around and we don't know. But he's got a point. They have my – Spike said it. They have my number. If I don't make my deposit for my tickets or whatever in a given month, they're hitting me up. Why don't they just tell me this same issue? It randomly happens.
They were doing it right there in the elevator, and he said, I don't want
to
talk about it.
They don't tell me about it beforehand. They wait till I'm at the game, and they wanted him. But they said to him, they want you to leave and come back in, which you know. I mean, he said
after he refused the conversation.
But they were telling him, and that's what they wanted to tell him to do, though. Not to go on to get off the elevator and go through a different entrance. He already had his ticket scan. You can't get back in.
Now,
I don't even know. And again, I don't know. Maybe Spike could get in, but the general public, you can't get back in.
They were pretty much telling him to walk, get out of the elevator and go through a different entrance.
Yeah.
And that's why he was like, no, screw that. I already got my ticket scanned.
Now, I don't know if they would have had that same approach if he would have said, came out of the elevator and been like, yeah, I'm willing to talk with you because I want to run back one more time on this clip.
I've been using the same entrance for 28 plus years.
Okay, cool.
The employee's entrance on 33rd Street.
Good for you.
That makes a
Yesterday,
difference.
Last night, I go in, my ticket gets scanned.
Yep.
I'm in.
Cool.
You know the elevator.
I'm talking to
elevator.
Spike Lee.
An elevator, also people having their ticket scanned also. And elevator's not moving. And the security guy comes to me and says, we need you to get off the elevator.
So
yes, and he refused.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, we have no idea they would ever approach him about going outside and coming back. And at this point, he's refused the conversation from a person who works at MSG. Mm-hmm. And so here's more of the clip.
And the security guy comes to me and says, we need you to get off the elevator.
Wait, okay. But the way he's illustrating that story right there, I'm under the impression he's not the only person on that elevator that just got their ticket scanned. So why are they asking Spike to get off it? Because he made it sound like there are other people there and they only asked me. Like that sounds weird.
He's usually by himself, it seems like. So he probably was the only one in his party or in the group in the elevator that used the special entrance. That is no longer being used, and he was not informed about it because he refused the conversation from Knicks MSG employees. I'm trying to play a devil's advocate here.
I know you are. Do you see how hard you're having to work here?
But the Knicks are total assholes, and I think that Spike Lee may also be an asshole here because he did not want to talk to employees at the stadium, and then now he said, I'm the victim here. Well,
I mean, here's my...
Is there not a chance that they may have explained the new policy, when they were trying to ask you out of the elevator?
Maybe, but then he would have said, I'm not leaving still. He wouldn't have left because, like you said, he already got his ticket scanned.
I don't feel bad for him getting kicked out of MSG. And they didn't kick him out. They told him, you must leave and then come back to the right entrance.
Which is so stupid. He still didn't do it. Yeah, it's stupid. Well, that's the problem. Yeah. But he knows when shit like this is happening, this is a Dolan power move.
This is 100%.
I mean, and then the Knicks come out with a response to the whole thing, and they said, the idea that Spike Lee is a victim because we have repeatedly asked him to not use our employee entrance and instead use a dedicated VIP entrance. Oh. Which is used by every other celebrity who enters the garden, is laughable. It's disappointing that Spike would create this false controversy to perpetuate drama. He is welcome to come to the garden anytime via the VIP or general entrance, just not through our employee entrance, which is what he and Jim agreed to last night when they shook hands.
See, I actually believe the New York Knicks.
Oh.
I believe that dumpster
we're never gonna
fire
have Spike on the show now.
I believe that dumpster fire trash ass organization. They have nothing to gain by treating their number one most visible fan in the entire city, and probably of all of the sports. Basketball, baseball, football, in New York City, he's probably the most visible fan of New York sports, right? Mm-hmm. I would assume so.
Well, they just screwed that up.
They have nothing to gain by treating him like garbage.
Well, they just did.
I think.
But he wanted to make it a thing by saying, Stephen A. Smith, I'll go on First Take. I'll tell you the story. You think he's telling 100% the truth, or maybe he's stretching a little bit?
I mean, I try to give people the benefit of the doubt, Ty.
I'm not giving Spike Lee the benefit of the doubt. That's my point.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'll tell you what. If he's doing it to get Dolan out, I don't entirely hate it.
Me neither.
Hopefully it works faster.
I mean, not that I want us to see the Knicks good, But I wouldn't mind seeing him be a little bit competitive, where it's just like, you know, we don't need all these throwaway games. I'd like to see, honestly, I enjoy a New York team losing more when they're supposed to be good. Like, the Knicks, we just have zero expectations for them. They're the doormat of the league. Ugh. What's this last thing you wrote in here, Ty? Should Steph Curry return for this season? Yeah, why the hell not?
There's nothing to gain.
You want to kind of get some game reps, though.
Yeah.
I would think. I don't know.
We actually talked about
last
time.
There's a reason they're holding him out still.
Yeah, there is. Because they want to make sure
you think Steph Curry needs game reps?
They want to try and help their chances in the lottery.
I think it just helps as a player. You get that feel. Like, if he waits all the way. I think we're just, like, nipping at it. Like, if he sat out the rest of the year, would I think it's a big deal? No. But I'm saying, as a player, maybe you just want some game reps.
Ty wants him to sit. Ty wants him to get his load management.
If you
do not want the Warriors to get the number one pick. I don't want them to get the number one pick, so please place that.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
That'd be wild. I
actually just got the update 14 minutes ago. Steph to return on Thursday. He's missed 58 games.
So depending on when you're listening. There
you
go.
Why'd you write Luka or Zion?
That was actually Ty that added that in there, too. No.
Because that was a big first take topic today, was whether you would choose Luka or Zion.
I would take Luka.
Hmm.
And
I take Luka, but I mean, out 5 years.
I just know what Zion is.
Oh, do
and
you?
Like I.
Oh, here we go.
Hold on. And this is what my problem is with like guys like Tatum and all. I don't think they're like really. Remember we talked about this. Like what I like about Luka is he makes other people around him better.
Uh huh. Yes.
I value that more.
Yes.
Is Zion
important.
An absolute monster? Yeah. I'd rather have a guy that makes everybody around him better too.
Right. Zion makes it easier for everybody to create for him, whereas Luka's kind of the inverse.
Yeah,
I mean Lonzo's a much more effective player when you have Zion out there.
Oh, hell yeah. Because he can just throw it up.
Go get it, dude. Yeah, I think I'd take Luka. Ty, Ty would take Zion. He's a Zion guy.
No, I would take Luka.
Would you really?
Wow.
We're all
complete. He's the complete player, and that was the great point that Matt made, was that like the next step for Jason Tatum is evolution, is to make...
He has to make other people better.
Exactly.
He doesn't.
And once he makes other players better, it in turn makes his offensive game more potent.
Then you become a superstar.
Right. If you know that Jason Tatum is capable of doing a LeBron James pass one hand, you got to guard the other guys tighter too. So that's Jason Tatum's next step. Luka came into the NBA already capable of that.
Right.
I mean, that Dallas team is literally there because of him.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
It's not like they have a great, you know.
No.
Remember we talked about it at the beginning of the year? I was like, they just have two players to me, mm-hmm. but they surround them with guys that he can make better.
Shooters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Luka can make better. So I would probably take Luka, but that's. You know, I'm not saying Zion's not an absolute animal. He also looks really. They were saying like he's close to 300 pounds or something like that.
This is crazy.
Holy shit!
He's
an absolute tank.
Make fun of Kuzma. How are you gonna take? Who's gonna stop that?
Oh my god!
I don't get Kuzma. I honestly don't.
Yeah, like, he's overrated.
It's the blonde hair and being in LA.
He's weird.
He's not a bum, but he is so freaking overrated. I don't get it. Like,
I would take Chris Middleton over Kyle Kuzma.
I don't think that's a ridiculous take at all. I think I'm there with you, especially if they're playing the Celtics, because we all know he turns into freaking Kobe every time he plays the Celtics. He could be on one leg, and he's going to go freaking like 10 for 12. Stupid. Do you have a shout-out this week? You haven't had one in a while. I have one if you don't. I have like three, actually.
Go ahead, shout them out.
Okay, so Northwestern women's basketball, which I went to almost all their home games when I was in college. They were crowned Big Ten champs this year. Congrats to them. Joe McEwen was the coach of the year, and then Steve Burton's daughter, Veronica, Steve Burton, of course, of WBZ, she was named the defensive player of the year. So congrats to all of them. I am very happy for them to see the program. I mean, like, Joe was good. Like, they developed a lot when he was there, like, when he first started, because I was there fairly early on. But to see him now, like, freaking coach of the year? I didn't see that come. I didn't see him win the whole thing. You got something you want to say?
No, I'm just listening. Yeah.
Huh? Okay.
Because I did see that picture.
Yeah, of Joe, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know it was like this year.
He's up for coach of the year.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it was him and another Big Ten coach, but I mean, he's obviously going to have the advantage over whoever the hell else is. But do either of you two have anything else?
Good for the program. Yes. Because their boys' team sucks.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's pretty much par for the course. do either of you two have anything else that you wanted to add, Ty?
Hey, I'll be at the Celtics-Jazz game on Friday. I'm expecting better results.
Ty, are you going to be gone?
to Celtics Jazz.
You haven't been to. I think Ty's only game that he's been to this year is the Hawks game, and he fell in love with Trae Young.
He's right in love with Trae.
Did not play Vince Carter. I don't know what the head coach is doing. He should be required to play Vince Carter in games.
And that 100%. Would have been the night that he officially would have became the first player to play. Was it 4 decades he's played in?
It was
or three decades.
And he passed on
3 decades. I think it's 3 decades.
Jesus.
No, four.
Four.
Four. Yeah, it's four. Jesus Christ. All right. Well, we will talk to you all again next week.
What it do, baby?
Yeah, you already know.
I'm just trying to be all right with it. Yeah. I'm just trying to be all right with it. Yeah. I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. Yeah. I'm just trying to spend the night with it. Yeah. I just want to be all right with it. I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. Hey, I got no resolutions. I'm just hoping for some.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.